Job chapter 22, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable to God, as he that is wise may be profitable to himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous, or is it gain to him that shall make us thy ways perfect? Will he reprove you or for fear of you? Will he enter with you into judgment? Is not your wickedness great and your iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fathers have thou broken. Therefore snares are round about you, and sudden fear troubles you, or darkness that thou canst not see, and an abundance of waters cover you. Is not God in the height of the heavens? And behold, the height of the stars, how high are they? And you said, how does God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he sees not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overthrown with the flood, which said to God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumes. Acquaint thyself now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come to you. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you shall be built up. You shall put away iniquity far from your tabernacles. Then shall you lay up gold as the dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be your defense, and you shall have plenty of silver. For then shall thou have thy delight. Then shall you have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face to God. Thou shalt make the prayer unto him, and he shall hear you, and you shall pay your vows. You shall also decree a thing, and it shall be established to you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. When men are cast down, then shalt you say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of your hands." Let's go back and see what it says now, okay? Back to the first verse. Then Eliphaz the Temanite responded. What is Eliphaz? My God is gold, or he's talking about wealth, the wealth of the world. Okay? And the Teman, he comes from Teman, which is a place of comfort. It also speaks of him being the son of Esau, which represents what? Flesh. Okay? So this is a flesh man talking to him. Now we know that the natural man shouldn't be telling a spiritual man what to do, should he? The spiritual man should be the one guiding things, not the natural man. A lot of people think because of intellect or wisdom in the natural that they should be leaders in something spiritual. That doesn't qualify you for anything. He doesn't call many wise, does he? Okay. So it's not about how much you know, it's how much you can hear and obey. It's about obedience. It's about him calling you, first of all. He says, can a man be profitable or useful to God, the Almighty? Can he? Yeah, he can. God can use him any way he wants to. It belongs to him. He says, as he that is wise may be profitable to himself. Well, you know, a wise man in the natural is going to utilize and take advantage of a lot of people, hurt a lot of people. God's not going to use him in that way, is he? It's going to be a little different. Okay? Is it pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous, or is it gain to him that you complete your ways perfect? Do you think by us what we do is going to make God any better than what he is? Well, see, some people think that. They think God is waiting for us to come to perfection so we can complete God. Hello, God's already complete. He's waiting on us to come to the knowledge of what he has already done. He's already done it. He's finished. The last thing Jesus said on the cross was what? It's finished. So all we got to do is believe that what he did is complete. In Hebrews 11, everything, all those prophets, all those wise men and women, how many of them saw the promise? Zero. They all died not receiving the promise. Correct? But it says they can't be made complete without us. They're waiting on us. See, we have to believe what they already believed. All those men and women received faith and were considered men and women of God because they believed what God said. It wasn't anything to do with what they did. How did Abraham become a Jew? He believed God and it was counted as righteousness. It's not about what you do. It's about what he has done, and can I believe what God did against what the natural man sees? What my eyes see tells me God isn't in control of this world, but my spirit says, don't worry about what you see because it don't make any difference. It's just temporary. It's going to pass away. But what God said is eternal. It will come to pass because he said it. I believe that. And if that makes me weird and crazy, that's okay. But I believe what he said. I don't care what anybody else thinks. If nobody else comes along, it's still okay because he said it. I heard it in here. See, I didn't read it off a page. I heard it inside of me as I read that page. So that tells me there's something else going on in here that these pages are only leading me to. This page is not holy. This book is not holy. This, what's inside of me and what's inside of you is what's holy. And when you realize that, your focus will no longer be on the book, but the book is just a plumb bob and a square and a level to help you build the house, to keep you in check, so you don't run off with that carnal mind and go someplace else. Absolutely, he'll test you. Absolutely. Verse 4, will he correct you for fear of you? You think God's worried about correcting us, being in fear of correcting us? I don't think so. Will he enter in with you into judgment? Do you think God is needing any of that? What this is literally a mocking accusation against Job from one of his so-called friends. He's asking him questions, but he's mocking him with the questions. Do you think God needs you? Well, God wants us. He don't need us, he wants us. He loves us and he wants us. Is not your wickedness great? Now he's getting right down to it, isn't he? What kind of sin are you walking in? See? He's really putting on. He said, isn't your wickedness great? And your iniquities or your evil without end? So what his friend is saying, I see you, Job. I know who you are. And I know you're a wicked man. You've done a lot of bad things. But how is Eliphaz looking at him? He's looking through natural eyes. He's not looking through the eyes of God. If he looked through the Spirit, he'd see a perfect, completed man there, wouldn't he? And he's not even looking at Job. He's looking at the Spirit of God in him. See, that's what we've got to get our eyes trained to see. See the Spirit of God. He said, because you have taken a pledge from your brother without cause, and you strip the naked of their clothing. Well, excuse me, how do you strip a naked person with clothes? Hey, duh. If somebody's naked, how do you get any clothes off of them? You think maybe these accusations might be without cause? Didn't Jesus say they'll say all manner of evil about you and lie about you? And great is your reward in heaven in the spirit realm. See? So you're blessed when they do this. And Job was just being blessed. He didn't realize it just yet. See? He hadn't read the New Testament yet. It wasn't printed yet, but that's okay. It was there, it just wasn't printed. Okay. He said, you have not given water to the weary to drink, and you have withheld food from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man remains in it. He's seeing everything. Eliphaz is seeing everything as if you do good, God will be good to you. Well, that's not true. The wisest man who walked on the earth at the time it was written was Solomon. And Solomon said, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous perish? It's something that's been asked. I've been asked that many times. Why do good people die and wicked people seem to go on and prosper and just have a great old time? Well, you know what? That one that ain't been tested and checked in, I'd say his bank account on the other side is going to be pretty nil. See? But my treasures are going to be laid up. I don't care what I go through here, as long as my treasure on the other side takes over, see? I don't worry about this side. They need it worse than anybody else. But if God hasn't chosen to use them yet, don't worry about it, see? What is it to me? Jesus said that to Jonathan. He said, what's it to you if someone else does something else? He said, what's any concern of yours? You only got to take care of one person, right? Self. I got to deal with me. If you learn to take care of yourself and not look so much at other people, you would be surprised how much better your life would be, how much more at peace you'll be than if you don't look at what everybody else. Look what they're getting by with. So what? If I'm not getting by with it, it means I'm getting corrected. You hear me? And then the book say he chastises or corrects those he loves. Well, thank you. That's a sign of love. And they ain't getting the love I'm getting. And I know some of us want to say, well, don't love me quite so much today. You know, kind of ease up on that love. But see, I want all of it. And if it's what it takes, then that's what it takes. I'm trusting him to fulfill it. He started it, and he'll fulfill it. Okay? Don't worry about it. He said, you sent widows away empty, and the strength of the fatherless you have broken. The word arms should represent strength. Therefore, snares are round about you, and sudden fear troubles you. Because you didn't do. See? Because you didn't do all the things that they said you're supposed to do. Well, only thing God said I have to do is obey. So all he asked me to do is obey what he tells me. What father would not love, or mother, love that their children only obey them? What would that be worth to you? Same thing to God. He's no different. He just wants you to obey him because he knows ultimately everything that we need to know about. If we just listen to him, everything will be fine. So the accusations are still here. He's saying because of all the things you've done, all this stuff's getting ready to snare you and the fear's on you. Also, darkness or ignorance that you cannot see, and the abundance of water that covers you. Said, all this is coming upon you because of what you did. No, it's coming upon me because of what he did. He died on the cross and he sent in all these things in my life to change me and to correct me. See, if I look at through my eyes and see what, if someone come up and hit me in the nose, I'd say, well, they hit me in the nose. Boy, that's terrible. But you know what? If I look through God's eyes, I see it differently. What do I see? They did something for me. They got my attention. They hit me in the nose because I needed to look some other direction, maybe. You know? He got my head turned. Whatever the reason, way God chooses to do things is not mine. But I need to see what God wants out of every situation. The negative is where all the change comes. Let me see if I can find something here. I just read something. In chapter 20, it's next chapter, 23. In the ninth verse, it talks about on the left hand where he does work. On the left hand where he works. Left hand's the judgment side, the goats and the sheep. Right? That's the hand of correction on the left side. That's where God works. He works in this correction, and we want to see it as, oh, we've done something bad and he's punishing me. No, he's not. Jesus died to wipe out the whole penalty of sin and death. So why would I be penalized for anything? There's no more law. The only law there is love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you got to do. Love. If you love, you can't do those other things. Now, I'm not talking about a natural, carnal way of loving. I'm talking about loving with the agape love of God. When you do that, you cannot do that. You cannot violate the Ten Commandments. And they're not commandments anymore. They're promises. When you get that love of God, I promise you, you'll never do any of those things. All 10 of them. You'll never be able to do it. Okay? Verse 12, he goes on and says, is not the one true God, it says. It's the word Eloah, not the other words. It's Eloah, means the one true God, in the height of heaven. Now, see, that's a wrong thinking, coming from someone interpreting what it really says. Where does God dwell? In his people. not up in the height of heaven. See, when you say heaven, everybody wants to look that way. But the spirit realm is what we're talking about, and the spirit realm is right in here, in each one of us. We've got to get our focus back to the where we live, in the spirit. Didn't Paul say we are seated in heavenly places in Christ? We're already there. We don't have to wait to go there. Another one of those misconceptions of the religious world. When you die, you get to go to heaven. Not said in the Bible anywhere. It's only what religion has come up with. Okay? It's about living in heaven now, in the spirit realm. Okay? He said, and behold the height of the stars, how high are they? What are stars? They're sons of God, like the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob, rather. 12 sons of Jacob. And you say, how does the Almighty know and judge behind a dark cloud? How can God know if he's up there behind this big dark cloud where we can't see him? How can he judge us? And the words come right back and says, thick clouds are a covering to him. They're not a blinding to him, they're a covering. It doesn't stop God's understanding, it only stops us from seeing him. Now, what is a dark covering? It's ignorance. It's in our mind. The reason we can't see God is because our minds are caught up in all this carnal stuff. It's that thick covering that God walks behind, not a literal cloud. I mean, come on. It's about the ignorance of our minds. Once our minds are opened up, we'll realize God's right here. We won't be looking for him to show up at a second coming or bursting through the sky. No, he's already here. If he wasn't here, we wouldn't be breathing. Okay? And literally when it says, thick clouds are a covering to him that he sees not, it should say, so he cannot be seen. That's what it should say in the language. He cannot be seen. And he lives in the fullness, not the circuit, but the fullness of the Spirit. See, God lives in the fullness of the Spirit. Not half the Spirit, not a third of the Spirit. He lives in the Spirit. The Spirit cannot be divided. The Spirit is one. It's a thought process. It's in here. See, we are one. Jesus said in John 17, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. Now, he didn't say make us one big seething mass of energy or anything like that, but here in the thinking process. That's why God can turn his kingdom over to his sons, his mature sons, because they have the same thinking process. If you had something going on in your life, if you were a CEO of a big company and you had people underneath you that had the exact thinking process as you, would you have any problem taking off and taking a trip and leaving them in control? Why? They would do exactly what I wanted. See? And that's why God wants us to have our thinking process just like him, because then we would do what he would do without him sitting there with a whip cracking over top of us. It'll be his will that'll be done. But see, his will becomes my will. It'll become done. Okay? He said, have you observed the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down or destroyed out of time, whose foundation was overflown with the flood? Who was he talking about? The ark and Noah. He said, did you look at all the people that was wiped out with the flood? Have you observed that and seen what come out of that? See, he's still pointing back to, if you do bad things, you're going to be punished. Well, under the law back then, that's all they knew. But excuse me, but the law was fulfilled in Matthew 5:17 when he said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. There's no more law now of the Ten Commandments. Those are not in effect. The law now is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no more laws. It's just like having no speed limit out here on the street. You can run 100 miles an hour. They can't give you a ticket. But if there's a 25 mile an hour speed limit and you drive 35, they can give you a ticket. You can't write somebody a ticket now. God's not into writing tickets. He already gave a judgment. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Not guilty. They're not guilty by reason of what I'm doing right here on this cross. It's finished. So no one's guilty anymore. But I will reap what I sow. It's not a license to do what you want. It's liberty to live the way God wants you to live. Okay? With no judgment. Okay. Which said to God, these people said to the Almighty, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for us? What can he do to us? He can't do us. We're prosperous. See? Many people think today because of their wealth and position in life that they're above God and they're above all these things. I mean, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the people in these big mansions with all this money. People look at you and say, what, are you stupid? No. My eyes are open because their God is what they're living. Stuff is not my God. My God is the God, the only God there is. He said, yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from who? Me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. What do you think it really means? They laugh them to scorn. The word laugh really isn't there. It literally says they speak unintelligibly to them. Now, look at me. Look what I'm saying. I want you to look at me so you hear me. Okay? He says the righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent speak unintelligibly to them. What's he trying to tell you? The righteous speak unintelligibly to them, the wicked. They're aliens. There you go. Didn't Paul say we're aliens in the land? Aliens don't talk like everybody else. See, I'm not supposed to talk like a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, a Pentecostal, or anything. I'm supposed to talk like a son of God. Okay? I'm supposed to talk like a son of God. Verse 20. If our adversary is not destroyed, our adversary is not destroyed, but the remnant of them is the fire consumes. He's saying, okay, if our adversary is not destroyed, the fire will get them. So who's concerned? Who's concerned? See, first of all, we're looking at this as a natural thing. I have adversaries. It's literally the word adversary, singular. The only adversary you and I have is between our ears. It's the only thing we got, this thing right up here. And if it's not cut down or destroyed by the flood, guess what? The fire's going to get it. Well, who's in control of the fire? Not a devil. Okay, there ain't no devil in control of no fire. It's God in control of all things. Okay? If we want to see the devil, look in the mirror. Okay? That's the only devil you got to worry about. He said, acquaint yourself now, or literally familiarize yourself with peace. Think about this. Familiarize yourself with peace is what it should say in the language. Who is peace? Christ. He is peace. Now, just like I told you before, I use the example of money, counterfeit money. With the IRS and with the banks, they train their people to find counterfeit money. But how do they train them? By never touching a counterfeit bill, never seeing a counterfeit bill. They only show them the real thing. And then when the counterfeit comes along, it'll be so foreign to them, it'll jump out right at them. He said, familiarize yourself with peace. You familiarize yourself with Christ enough. If anything else comes out that's not Christ, how long will it take you to know that? Instantly, you got it. That's not Christ. That's not my Father's way of doing things. Okay? Thereby shall good come to you. Well, good's going to come to you when you do what? Obey God. If I understand God and do what God wants me to do, how could anything come that's not good? And I look at it this way. Without the positive and negative, there's no good. I got to have it all. Got to have it all. Receive now the law from his mouth. Whose mouth? Whose mouth are we talking about? God's. Receive the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you take God's words to heart, place them in your heart, which is really your mind, okay? You put them in your mind and solidify them in your mind. When you go to do something, where are you going to draw from? Right there. So when I begin to do something, see, that's the mind of Christ we're talking about. Putting those words in your heart from God. That is the mind of Christ. So when I begin to function, automatically I draw from that, what I put in there. Remember, Ezekiel took the old heart out, gave you a new heart. Okay, when the old heart's taken out, what can you draw from it? It's thrown in the trash bin and destroyed, burned up. Okay? So literally, you can't use that thinking process anymore, can you? If God changes your thinking process, then I can't even go back to that anymore. Okay. Don't try to hold on to two thinking processes. What James tells us. Double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. Not part of them, all of them. Because when you start mixing truth with fiction, you got a problem. It's all a lie then. Okay? If you return to the Almighty, you shall be restored, is what it should say. Now, notice what he said. Return, right? That means you had to been there once before. I can't go back to someplace, return someplace I've not been there before. So we were with him before the foundation of the world, weren't we? Okay. And then he said you would be restored. Well, you can't be restored if you haven't been stored the first time, could you? You had to be there first. That little RE means do it again. You can't do something again if you haven't done it once before. And you shall put away iniquity far from your tabernacles. It shouldn't say that. It should say, and iniquity, if you do this, iniquity will be put far from your tabernacle. Do you hear me? It's not about you putting iniquity away. If you do what God says and you're restored, you return to the Lord and you're restored, then iniquity will be put far away. It's an automatic thing. It's like turning the light switch on. You turn the light switch on, you don't have to remove darkness, do you? You turn the light switch on, the benefit is the darkness is immediately gone. And that's what God says. If you come back to me and let me restore you, iniquity will be removed far from your tabernacle. That's that new heart that Ezekiel's telling you about. It's the mind of Christ. This whole Bible, from in the beginning to amen, of Genesis, and from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about us receiving what God has already given us. The whole book, there's only one story. It's about Christ and that mind of Christ being given to us. I'm simplifying it very, very simple. It's about the changing the thought process, the repenting, the changing the way we think, and putting it back into the thought process of God. And there's 1,000 or 15,000 or 20,000, whatever, different stories of how God's got a different view of it from different perspectives, but still telling you the same thing. Same picture, you're just getting a different view, like a multidimensional picture. You're getting a better view of it. Okay? He said, then shall you lay up gold as dust and gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Now let me read this to you out of the Living Bible. I think it has a very good rendering. Just take a second, because in Living Bible it's harder to get through things. Verses and everything are different. Way they're laid out. Okay, 22. And what was the look verse looking at? 24. Okay. If you give up your lust for money and throw your gold away, then the Almighty Himself will be your treasure, and he will be your precious silver. Did you hear what it said? Let me read that again. If you give up your lust for money and throw your gold away, your natural love of gold, money, then the Almighty Himself shall be your treasure, and He will be your precious silver. Now, I've got another one. Let me get this out of another translation. New King James. I don't have it. You got it. New King James. You got it in your book? Then you will lay your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir amongst the stones of the brooks. So he's saying your gold will become, gold and natural wealth will become immaterial to you. Doesn't mean anything. And the love of money is what? The root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. He said when you can lay down the gold and the wealth of the world as meaningless to you,
God will be your treasure. God will be your treasure. What does silver represent? Redemption. So when I lay down the gold of the world and pick up the gold of God, the nature of God, guess what? He'll be my redemption. That's all it is. It's that simple. If I lay one thing down, the other one comes back. It's that simple. Turn the light off, the light's on, the darkness is gone. Just let go and let God be whatever he wants to be in anybody and everybody. And I know some people don't believe it, but God told his prophets to violate the law. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, the law wasn't for God. The law was for people. He told Hosea the prophet to go marry a prostitute, which was illegal for man's law. But it wasn't for God, because God had a plan. And I thank God his plan will take over when everybody else's fails. Okay, let's go on to 25. The Almighty shall be your what? Defense? That word's not right. It says redemption. He'll be your redemption. Exactly what it says in the language. And you shall have, excuse me, let me say that again. I looked at the wrong thing. The Almighty shall be your gold. I looked at the word right below it. Okay. He will be your gold. He'll be your nature. Gold is the nature of God. And you shall have plenty of silver, which is redemption. If God is, if gold or the nature of God is what I look at and what I receive, then I have all the redemption I need. Correct? Because then you shall have your delight in the Almighty and shall lift up your face to God. Do you know how many people can't look a godly person in the eye? Serious. I'm not talking about looking at the Almighty God, but if someone really thinks you're a man or woman of God, do you know how many people can make eye contact with you? Not many. They'll talk to you like that. They'll turn their head and talk to you. Talk out the side of their mouth. You'd be surprised the people that do it. They're not even aware of it, because they can't face anything that's truth and spiritual. They'll look away from you. That's the truth. But you know, when you come totally free in God, you know what you can do? You can just walk up and look. It doesn't make any difference. My daddy taught me something years ago when I was a little boy. He said, if you can't look somebody in the eye, you've done them wrong. Well, that goes in the spirit too. If I can't look you in the eye, I've done you wrong. And if I can't look God in the face, then guess what? I've done him wrong too. There's a truth in the natural as well as the spiritual in that. Huh? You tell on yourself exactly what you're doing. You just keep putting up, here's my sign. Right? Here's my sign. Verse 27 goes on and says this. You shall make your prayer to him, God, and he shall shama. He'll hear you with the intent to respond. You know why? Because you're paying attention to him. You've returned to him. He's restored you. Why wouldn't he listen to you? If you're the Son of God, just like Jesus, did Jesus pray anything to the Father that wasn't answered? No. Do you think your prayers will everyone be answered if you do it in the nature of God? Absolutely. Samuel was in a place where he said never a word of his ever fell to the ground. That's a symbol of the first fruit sons of God who come to the full stature of Christ, who can speak the truth. And when you speak that truth, everything you say will come to pass. In the Old Testament, it said, if a prophet come and prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, and it come not to pass, don't fear that man or woman, because they're not a prophet of God. So be careful when you go out prophesying. You better know what God said to you so you don't say it. You won't hear me say much prophetically. Very rarely. I usually got to have this great big number, 6,000 or whatever it might be, 7,000 in my butt before I'll prophesy. I got to know it's come from him. I don't prophesy from emotions like most people do. And prophesying is not the same in the Old Testament to the New Testament. Old Testament prophet says, thus saith the Lord. New Testament prophet, Jesus, he never said that one time. All he did was spoke the truth. He spoke the word of God. That's a New Testament prophet, because he was called a prophet, priest, and a king. New Testament prophet, all he did was spoke what Father told him to speak. That's the prophet in the New Testament. Okay, where am I at? 27? Make your prayer to him, and he shall hear you, and you shall what? You shall fulfill your promises to him. Whatever you promise to God, he's going to give you the ability to fulfill it because he's restored you. Verse 28, you shall also decree a thing. The word thing is not correct. It's the word word. You shall decree a word, and it shall be established to you. What's he saying? Once you put on the mind of Christ and come to maturity, and Father recognizes and knows that you know who you are now, he can trust you with something. At one place in the scripture says, how can he trust you with the beggarly? If you can't take care of the beggarly elements of the world, how can he trust you with the spiritual truths? Okay? The truth of the Spirit. How can he do it? But once you prove yourself to God, he don't never look back because he knows you know who you are. Okay? Once you know who you are, he already knows who you are. You've got to know who you are. When you know who you are, guess what? Whatever you say is going to come to pass. That's what their correction is about, learning to process you to where you speak only truth. And when you do, you're walking in the tall cotton, boys, I'm telling you. And the illumination shine upon your ways. What's it saying? People are going to be able to see a light. You can see it anywhere. But illumination will be on your ways or your lifestyle. Everywhere you go, people will know that you're a godly person simply by the cause of the way you walk your life. You don't have to wear a t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian. I don't believe I'm not a Christian anyway. I'm a son of God. I don't have to wear a band that says, what would Jesus do? I don't have to worry what he'd do because I know what he did. See, they got it all wrong. WWJD, what did he do? Not what will he do? Okay? We got to get these things right. Verse 29 in the New King James again. Verse 29. It says, because men are cast down, then you shall say there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. Well, let me break it down what the language says it should be. I'll read the New King James first. When they cast you down, you will say exaltation will come. Then he will save or literally deliver the humble person. That's the New King James. Here's what the language says, and that's closest to one yet. Because men are cast down, then you shall say there is a exaltation, and he shall deliver the humble person. So what he's saying is when people say, you're all going to hell because you're bad people, you're going to say, whoa, wait a minute. There is an exaltation here. He died on that cross. He was exalted for a reason, wasn't he? He was put on a cross. He said, when you humble yourself in the sight of God, there's going to be a lifting up of all humanity, whether you like it or not. Somebody's going to come along and have enough guts to say, I don't care what religion says. That don't make any difference to me. I know what God says. It don't make any difference. See, somebody's got to have the guts to stand up and say that. Okay? Verse 30. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. That's not true. Here's what it says. The word island is not in the language in any shape or form. Okay? It says this. He shall deliver the one not innocent. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's going to deliver the ones that are not innocent. That's the ones that see themselves as guilty. He's still going to deliver. It has no bearing on what you think you are. It's up to him what's going on. Jojo. He shall deliver the one that's innocent, the one that's not innocent, and they will be delivered by the pureness of what? Your hands. Hello. He said, because of the life you walk, it's going to deliver somebody else. Do you hear that? Because we're standing here, the only reason we're standing here is because somebody prior to us has walked something out. And we have the responsibility. If you hear what Jesus said in his walk on this earth, you shall do greater works than I have done. He only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came for first fruit only. When the first fruit is matured and offered back to God, guess what? They got to do the other 90%. We've got to bring the rest of this to the rest of the world. Now, how are we going to do that? Not by power, nor by might, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. We don't have to work up some kind of a big frenzy. We don't have to try to impress a bunch of people and have great big meetings. All we got to do is walk and live as God has designed for us to walk. It's that simple. I know that people say, well, that's too simple. No, it's not. That's the way He did it. See, people like to have all these extra strings attached and say, well, I can't do it because of this. Excuses. There's no excuse that you can't walk this if God has called you. Because He said, if He calls you, He equips you. And He glorifies you and He justifies you. You got no excuse. Read Romans 1. There is no excuse. Read Romans 1. There's no excuse to the creation. Because He has revealed Himself to His creation. No excuse. And that's not judgment to anybody else. It's not condemnation or guilt. It's just saying we can do what He's called us to do. And I don't say this in any kind of arrogance or pride. Hear my heart. I'm saying you or I can do whatever God tells us to do because He called us to do it. He equipped us. If He calls you to do it, you're equipped. Whether you think you are or not, you're still equipped because He said so. The book says He's not a man that He could lie. So if He said it, guess what? You can do it. If He asks you to do it, don't say, well, I'm not qualified. No, you're qualified. You're calling God a liar when you say, I'm not equipped. Do you realize that? I'm not calling Him. I have called Him a liar before, but I don't do it no more. I caught myself at it. He asked me one time where I was going. I said, I'm just taking a ride. And he said, why are you running? I said, I'm not running. He said, you're running. Why are you running? And I said, I ain't going to call Him a liar again. I slipped out there real quick. I said, I didn't realize I was running. He said, you're running. So I had to sit down. That changed my whole life when He did that. And he has to get your attention sometimes. Do you realize how He talked to different people? He talked to Peter. Get behind me, you devil. But to John, it was so soft and gentle. See, it was a different personality. Some people, He's got to really jolt you to get your attention. Others, He can just say a word and get your attention real quickly. Some of us are hard-headed. You know, some of us are not. So we can't say, well, you walk this way, so I got to walk that way too. Each one of you have a customized walk from God. It's His plan, not my plan. It's not your plan. It's all about what He wants. And when you learn what He wants for you, you will have no problems. I promise you. You just got to hear from Him. See, when I speak, I'm telling you, don't listen to me. Listen to what's going on inside of you as I speak. Hear God speaking in you. That's the only salvation you got. The only deliverance you got is to hear God in you. Because the book says in Revelation, blessed is he that has ears to hear what the Spirit says. You got to hear it. You got to hear in here, not with these things. If you do, no more struggles that you can't handle. You'll have struggles, but you won't be able to have a problem with them. You'll walk through them and just smile and go on.